Welcome to the Timitude Podcast, where we have stimulating and all-inspired conversations with thinkers, dreamers, makers, movers, and trailblazers. Well. Finally, I get to sit with my friend Bonini Kusano for a heart-to-heart, like two friends would, over a cup of tea or their favorite drink, and talk about all the things to do with our heart. We talk self-worth, self-esteem, confidence, and just feeling your body. And then, of course, we ended off with a primer on breathing and how to breathe properly. And then part two, which will come next week, we actually get into it. And Bonini takes me through her breathing regimen, which is absolutely going to open up your mind, open up your body, open up your being, and just really open possibilities for you. So without further ado, allow me to indulge you in this beautiful conversation with my friend Bonini Kusano as we talk about everything to do with the heart. Enjoy it.
Oh God, I even don't know where to start this conversation. It will start from wherever.
Okay, you said I should start with breathing.
No, I don't want breathing. Oh. I'm not in the mood for breathing today.
Okay. You confuse me.
So okay, what's going on in your mind right now? Let's start there.
Nothing. Yeah, literally, I'm good. I'm cool bananas.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking forward to this. And I'm just empty. Not running on empty as in I'm depleted.
Yeah.
I'm empty as in I have allowed it to take the shape and form that it needs to because I don't know what to expect.
Yeah, so, yeah.
And yeah. I've never done a podcast. It's been a dream of mine to do it.
Wow.
And a wish. And now that I'm doing it, I'm just like, oh, okay. Yeah, let it happen. Let it take whatever shape and form it needs to, and we take it from there. I think the only thing that I had to think of was, and I'm going to be girly about it, all right? So allow me to be.
Yeah, please.
I think in terms of prep, when you're asking me what's going on in my head right now, I had to think of the, you see, sometimes in order for you to be confident, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel, this is my opinion, this is my view. Mm-hmm. Your voice has to come from somewhere within your body structure, within your physiology.
Yeah.
So, I have been privileged to have done a voiceover for somebody's conference before.
Mm-hmm.
And they just picked me. Not like I've ever done voiceover with my friend, right?
Yeah.
And when I did that voiceover, I noticed, you know, my voice has to come out in a certain texture, in a certain volume, in a certain timbre. You know, all of those beautiful notes and vibrations that come with a voice. And it had that imprint that the person was looking for. However, mm-hmm. prior to doing that, I used to think that my voice sounds so squeaky on audio. So wow. That helped me to understand what I needed to prepare for this because I found that I need to first feel my body.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that, so just before I started with you, I took a cold shower
mm-hmm.
because I needed to feel my body. I needed to be in my body and understand where I'm speaking from. And where I'm speaking from right now will be guided by whatever you're going to ask me.
Goodness. Tell me something. Have you struggled with any confidence issues with yourself, like with your body, with your essence? I don't know.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. I've been a fat chick all my life. Well, except the 10 years somewhere in my life where I was slim, maybe more than 10 actually. I have.
Tell me, talk to me about it. Talk to me about it.
Talk to you about it. Okay. So from when I was very young, I've always been a life of the party, first and foremost. And that's where people misunderstand and think that I am confident or have self-worth or have self-esteem. And I just used to be the one in the middle of the circle, like really, as a little girl. And really capture my audience. I used to do drama at Sunday school, so I was there. And then I found that people were always just, you know, commenting, oh, man, you know, I don't know if you know, make sense of this word, but I'm going to say it in vernacular, mandinga, mandinga meaning chubby one.
Mandinga, which language is that?
my native language, which is Sesotho from Lesotho.
Sesotho from Lesotho, okay.
Yeah, so... Yeah. I think that left something, but I wasn't aware, right? Because then as I was growing up into a young lady coming into high school, then there were other comments that were about my body. Once again, I wasn't aware that it left an imprint. It's only when I got to the later years of my high school that I started being conscious of my body weight. And what I mean by that, how that translated or expressed itself is that that's when I started the dieting thing, drinking hot lemon water, doing all of those things, not like I was ever into any exercise, but really taking, you know, an intentional action to not want to be fat. And when I got to varsity, it played out again, where now I wanted to be a certain body because I was studying out of the country. And when you're coming back into the country, you've got to look, you've got to be hot enough for people to realize that you were not there. Right? Right? Right, Tim? Right?
Yeah.
Right? You can't come back with the same afro. No, you can't. Like, really? Right? No, that's just totally unacceptable. Only from high school going into the early years of me working did I realize that my body very much contributed to how I felt about myself. And when I lost weight, when I started working, it wasn't because I was trying to lose weight. I lost weight because I put in so much of me into my work. I was working, my first job was in hospitality. Back in Lesotho at a Sun International Hotel, Lesotho Sun. And it was quite a prominent position in terms of the traffic of the of the hotel. The bulk of the traffic came from my work. So I was always in people's faces. So I literally, I was working. And that then helped me to understand the difference between self-esteem and confidence.
Yeah.
Because I realized that I felt like, oh, okay, now I can do things that I didn't know I could do.
Yeah.
And that was the self-esteem part. The confidence is more exterior, by the way. Where the exterior of me communicates a confident person. But the next layer beyond that was, am I doing a certain action intentionally because I have something in mind? So that's where the self-esteem would come in. And then so, the self-worth part only came in the later years of my adulthood. Because I didn't have it.
Self-worth. So you've said a number of things. So you've talked about your journey, obviously, and trying to understand your physique. And then that translating into an element of confidence. And then you're talking about self-worth now. So where are you right now in that journey? And if you were to pick or found a Bonini, and a buxom one, full-bodied one, which one would you choose?
Pardon, sir, repeat the question again.
So if you had to find, you know, two versions of you, one is a skinny, bony, bonini. And one and the other is a full buxom, you know, you, a version of you. So two versions. Which one would you pick?
Right. I'm all of the above now.
Okay.
I'm everything that played out in my past and everything that is still yet to happen and everything that needs to be done today.
Okay. Talk to me about the self-worth part, because I didn't want to cut that line of thought. It was just a point of reflection.
So I think a lot of times we think that confidence captures self-esteem and self-worth, and it doesn't. Confidence is strictly outside. It's an exterior thing. Self-esteem has more willpower than will, right? Self-worth is willpower and will and chutzpah.
I like that. I like that.
So self-worth is knowing that you've got something and constructing a narrative towards it and having the energy for it. You're able to take a position and you're able to quantify the position. You're able to justify your position without necessarily saying, come and be on my side. I need you on my side because I need numbers. But it's just the way I see things and I understand things. And I am worthy of the space. So it's like coming into a room and making a presence without effort. And for the longest time, I did not realize that my aura actually has that in it. And what I mean by that is, you know, I was that kid who would be picked even when I'm quiet. Like I would be in an audience of someone say, oh, Bonini, so what are you saying? Because my eyes speak a lot. My eyes speak more than what comes out of my mouth. So a person who could already tell if I'm processing things from a I don't understand, or you just like me, or like literally that. And because I did not have the self-worth to think that I'm worthy to be owning this narrative, then I'll be like, oh my God, why is this person choosing me? And because I'm gifted as a talker, people think that I've got what is going on. I know what I'm going to say. No, fuck no. Most of the time, I didn't even know. Right? So once I cultivated that and I realized inherent in me is already that presence. There are people who can walk into a room and they make a significant impact without saying anything. And I have realized, fortunately, I have that. And I'm glad that I'm only connecting with that amazing power now in terms of the value of it, because I'm more mature, I'm more humble about it. I think if I had had it 20 years ago, oh my goodness, yeah.
Some of us wouldn't have had a chance.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it would have come from a very selfish part of me. Whereas now there is a strong sense of self-awareness into it, where I need to gauge it and understand, okay, so even if I do put myself in the corner, I'll still be picked. But how do I then allow other people who are there in the front seat because they want to be seen and heard also to still be part of that presence? You know what I mean? So
Yes.
yeah, it's been a humbling discovery.
So
That
that's probably yeah. So how would you, now that you're saying that, and now that you have this level of awareness, how would you introduce Bonini? You know, how do you describe them? Their energy, their aura, their being, their essence. Let's
See,
get
I
introduced.
love, yes. See, now I love the fact that I'm aware of it, but I don't take it so seriously as in, oh my God, I'm the future Nelson Mandela. But I like the fact that it is playful more than serious. You know, I have a very receptive presence. Yes, some people, if they have their own issues already, will draw a little bit, but some immediately get drawn into that space and they welcome. So I am that very open person who people easily talk to, easily, anybody.
Yeah, I can confirm that.
You know, from all walks of life, because I can literally be myself without thinking, do I need to you know, overpower you with words or whatever. I'm just being me.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think I'm assisted highly by the fact that it's more animated than me trying to say I'm superior than you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope that's how it's coming across, because that's how it's
It does. And it's so effortless. And that's why I think the first time we spoke, you know, and I remember saying to Zanele, you know, and now, you know, it will be those friends that you introduce, like, oh, meet so and so. And then those two, the one you introduced.
Get to meet more than you.
Hanging out more than you, you know, like, it's like, what happened? What did I do?
Yeah, that's so true. That is so true. Yeah, so I hope that has answered your question.
Yeah, so let's do a bit of a backstory. Like, how do you see yourself and your role in the world? And how do you see yourself forward in terms of your own evolution and journey?
You see, you're speaking such big word. I have to write them down.
Yeah, right, and then look
for a different... forward, evolution, and journey. So moving forward, like, it's just
simply your sense of mission and purpose, how you see it, you know, like I'm here in this world to do X and Y, which is as simple as that. And then it's like, okay.
I want to do justice to these words. I want to do justice to these words. No, I love them. I love them. I'm not
We're throwing all the English today.
Not at all. I love them because, and let me give you the background quickly, because this is also part of the background. You said I should give you the background. So as part of this process of unpacking the layers of my makeup, confidence, self-esteem, and self-worth, I had to understand words, the meaning of words.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean when I am saying I am compassionate, I am kind, I am aggressive? You know, I needed to literally sometimes go into the dictionary, take a thesaurus, and try and understand all these synonyms and all of that, trying to understand it for me, because I think a lot of time people use word nje.
Yeah.
And we end up taking that meaning without investigating it for yourself, what it means. So the minute you said, what is your role in the world? Where do you see yourself going forward? What is your evolution? What is your journey? I start then processing them in terms of, for me, in fact, what came up immediately as you were saying was a visual representation of those words.
Wow.
Right? So if I'm to unpack this picture that is playing out as you were saying, forward is stepping into something, right? Not stepping back, stepping forward.
Yeah.
And evolution for me, it is almost like, you know, when energy is moving, you know, almost like a DNA structure, that movement, that meandering, curving structure, right? So that represents the word evolution for me. The journey is literally me moving into those structures and maneuvering that structure and going. So the three words for me capture the essence of what I'm going to say to you. So moving forward, I have stepped in, because I'm no longer stepping. It's no longer a wish. It's no more a desire. It is what I am and what I'm living. So as I was saying, I've stepped into a place where I've completely given my whole existence to my creator, whether you call it Allah, the higher power, God, whatever that may be. And what I mean by that is I have noticed that for me to get to be where I am today, and do the things that I'm doing the way that I'm doing it, it has always been guided.
Yeah.
I may think, because I am human, that I thought about it and sat down and constructed my life, right? I think
yeah.
I might have, but not. That is not the absolute truth. So what I mean is that my journey into this thing called life going forward and my role as well is to help people understand that we are guided at all times. And how that is communicated to us is that your heart will always tell you what it wants. The heart has its own clock.
Yeah.
And the heart will push you even into boundaries and cavities that you did not think existed. Your
wow.
heart is that alarm that will tell you that it is time for a change. Literally,
wow.
every part of your existence, either every 5 to 7 years, that heart will give you a message. I do no longer like this. I am yearning for this. I am craving for that. I am wishing for that. I desire that. That's how we are meant to evolve and grow at our own pace, in our own way, using our own metrics, not external things.
There's something very interesting you're saying around the 5 to 7. What is that? Is that a season? Is that a rhythm? Is that a pattern? What is that? Like, is that something that
so
you read
five
about?
To 7 years, we change every 5 to 7 years. Not only in the physical way, as in you're getting wider horizontally, vertically, or whatever shape or diagonally, right?
Yeah.
But in terms of interests and wants, right? Your desire, your values, what you end up putting your focus on, every 5 to 7 years, that changes. Meaning it's not changing from one end of the spectrum and shooting and totally going into another one totally new.
Yeah.
It is staggered. You're moving from interest, from hanging out with certain friends to a certain caliber of people, doing, watching certain show, preferring certain food, preferring certain cut of clothes, or you wanting to invest in certain type of literature or knowledge, etc., etc. You know, we change.
Yeah.
Because that's how we're meant to evolve.
Okay,
and all of those things
then
influence our personality.
So I'm going to ask you something that I've thought about, and I'm not sure whether I have got the answer. Do all people have self-awareness? Or is
all
it
people.
All people, all humans, do they have self-awareness? Or is that something that is available to some and is not available to others?
Oh, I was saying, in order for me to do justice
in
answering your question, perhaps you could help me by unpacking what your understanding of the word self-awareness means.
You know, like, when I mean, if you look at, I don't know, I think people who tend to just think about life, where, you know, what the meaning of it, where do they find themselves in, and what's their role and so on. So, and personally, I would say, like, I'm very careful and very thoughtful, and I would always look at, if I offend somebody, for example, and I'm not saying that I'm perfect, I'd be aware that, yeah, I think I did something wrong there, or I missed the mark, even for my own self. It's like, okay, and this needs to change. But yet there are some people who just seem to breeze along, and it's like, you know, then you wonder, is this something that is available for everybody, or is this something that is available for a few? And I don't know. I'm just, it's something I don't have an answer for. And it's not to say that, oh, you know, others are better than the others, because I would imagine that, yes, maybe it's available, but maybe it's not activated, or it's not used, or it's not developed, or it's not.
I think you've just answered it. You've just answered the question. Because it's
anyway,
similar to.
Anyway, it's not for me to answer it. It's for you to share your perspective. It's just a random question.
So I think you've hit the nail on the head. It is exactly that and more. Because it's similar to resilience. It's similar to consciousness. It's similar to breathing. So it's all those innate things that when we are born, we're born with them.
Yeah.
However, how they get to exist at a higher volume, right, or a more refined texture in essence, will be based on various things, one of which could be culture. The other one could be socialization. The other one could be education. The other one could be grooming. You know, the other one, you know, how you are brought up, what you're exposed to, who you hang out with.
Yeah.
All of those things contribute. Because then those things form your perception of life. They inform how you see the world and how you act in the world and how what you receive and how you interact with the world.
Yeah, because I must say that I don't know about you, like it's some of those things that can really be so puzzling, you know, and like, wow, you know. Of course, sometimes, I mean, and maybe because of a bit of being a bit further down the journey that you are now able to reflect on certain things. And then you see some other places and it's like, well, how did I even make it through there? Because you are not so self-conscious or self-aware. Yet somebody could say, yes, you are walking on top of, you know, with the sharks, they would have eaten you. But it's like, you are not aware, but you just breathed along. And maybe that's where, you know, grace comes in or the divine kind of helps us and so on. So I don't know. I mean, obviously, I mean, there's a sense
but
that
you cannot, see what you don't know. You see, another thing, which is where we were saying socialization plays a role, parenting plays a role. So everything that has contributed or you've exposed to yourself to be where you are today has contributed to that muscle in order for it to be high or low or medium or non-existent. So because for some people that self-awareness, it's actually they know it, but it's dumbed down in certain cultures.
Okay. That's actually interesting. That makes sense.
In certain cultures, it's not about you. We've had those sayings where you are told over and over and over again, it's not about you. Think of others before yourself.
Yeah.
You are selfish, you know, and so on and so forth. Look after your brothers. Look after your sisters. Look after your mother.
Yes. We call it black tax, is it?
Yes. So it's quite interesting how it then plays out because it goes back to what we started talking about earlier on, which is confidence, self-esteem, and self-worth.
Yeah.
So self-awareness is very much tagged with those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because in order for you to connect those three things and more, you need to do introspection, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because confidence and ego are two different things. Self-esteem and ego are two different things. Self-worth and being a narcissist and an egoist are three different things.
Yeah. True.
So it's literally about understanding what has influenced you because everything really comes from the meaning that has been instilled in us is what then forms your map of the world.
Yeah.
And this map of the world sits in your head because it's what has been imprinted in you and fed into you, what forms your belief system, your value system, the rules that you use to govern yourself, the language you use to conduct yourself. Here I'm not talking Shona, Swahili, Sesotho, and all of that. The language, the use of words. You know, it affects your identity, who you think you are, and your personality. That meaning is then what then translates into your behavior, what you communicate to the outside world, which then impacts the imprint that you live in the world. So you then think that this map that you have that has been instilled within you through all these various things that we spoke about, which is education, culture, socialization, parenting, and all of that, is the world. It is life.
Mm-hmm.
So the meaning you attach to things It's what you end up experiencing. So I'll give you a quick example of somebody that I met in the last year, and we hit it off, and I thought we were friends, right? Friends loosely, not friends as in amazing, oh my God, we're going to, you know, visit each other and go on holiday and go on holidays together. But it was quite, it had its own level of intimacy in it. I could comfortably call her my friend. Until one day I said to her, my queen. And the response I got was not what I had in mind when I said that word. Because the meaning we attach to that word is different. I'm coming from a traditional interpretation or cultural, African cultural interpretation of what a queen is. As somebody who stands on their own, somebody who commands themselves in a certain way, somebody who's able to call bullshit bullshit or take a position when they need to take a position, right? For her, on the other hand, it was, think you are important.
Oh, okay.
And she got offended.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you needed to have a common dictionary.
Absolutely. And that helped me then to, to understand her. But unfortunately, on her part, I now tread with caution.
Oh, God.
I now tread with caution because.
Yes.
The fact that she's taking such it could be, she, for her, queen is instilled in that negative manner.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay.
So I need to be careful with all words, how I am saying things, because for her, she needs to prove her worth all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she's not worthy of being called a queen. Because she has to prove her worth. Whereas I am coming from a place where I know I'm worthy. So if I know I'm worthy, it means I'm going to treat everybody on from that platform. Do you get it, Tim?
Yeah, absolutely.
You will always treat people based on where and how you are feeling about yourself.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, yeah, this is a big one. Goodness. So, okay, I'm going to shift gears a little bit. So, tell me, what makes you sing and what makes you cry?
Sing. Allow me to go back to what the conversation I had started when you were talking about forward evolution and journey, because then when I said I reached a point where I have stepped into the space where I have given everything that I am to my creator, where my heart is my GPS, right? And literally my heart is my search engine, right? And it tells me where to go, where to plug myself, where not to plug myself. And this is the narrative I have with my heart and my intellect and my mind and my physical body. I tell myself, you are going to be guided by your heart. You are going to construct philosophy, concepts, truisms, and everything wonderful that makes you look and feel smart to the world using your intellect. Your mind is going to construct rituals and programs in order to make sense of that intellect. Your body, which is your hands and feet and your eyes, your five senses, are going to action that. Thinking of that and processing that and saying that to myself makes me sing.
Wow.
Because it allows me to continuously be a seeker. It has allowed me to work from a space where I do not think I know. I do know I know, and I also know what I don't know. And I'm forever curious in knowing what I don't know. Because in doing that, it allows me to grow beyond whatever boundaries life has exposed to me or afforded me.
Yeah.
That, my friend, gives me tears. Joyful tears.
Yeah.
It makes my heart sing because I no longer have to sit and squat and think, oh my God, I have to think, how am I going to come up with a solution for this? Because I let my heart let me know, is this what I need to focus on? In terms of the stack of priorities that I need to focus on, is this really what I need to focus on? And my heart will tell me, because if my heart continues to beat the same rhythm that is giving me comfort and soothes me, then I need to go into it. But however, if my chest is tight and my heart skips a beat and I'm overwhelmed, then I need to look and find out why. It's either not my shit,
mm-hmm.
or it's not for me,
mm-hmm.
and I need to focus on what is on my table.
Wow. So what does that make you then? Does that make you a spiritual person? As highly evolved, self-aware person at level 8 of the Maslow hierarchy, 7, but yes, level 8 with a PhD.
And then, whatever you want to label me as, it makes me that, because then labeling me will give you the comfort of understanding what am I and who am I. You know, for me, the journey that I have traveled over the last years has allowed me that I need to leave the sentence I am open all the time. I am whatever is required of me at the time.
So if you are to summarize and say your life to one word that defines you, what would that one word be?
Goofy as hell.
So is your fan bone your big thing?
It's such a big thing. It is such a big thing, Tim. And I really didn't realize how significant it is until I went through the period that I went through in 2013. Because as I was going through that maze, mm-hmm. all I wanted was for me to just be fun, to laugh again, to just see life as just something amazing, to be curious and explore and not give a shit. Remember when I said to you, I didn't realize when people used to make comments about my body that it left an imprint?
Yeah.
Because I think I've always been that person. I don't take on people's stuff easily.
Oh, yeah. That's a great, yeah. Queen.
Power.
Yes, I like that. Oh, yeah. Yes. So it saved your skin, literally.
It saved my... So these are some of the gifts that I noticed that, you know what, you've always been known that you have this gift, but you never gave it enough attention. And the universe will actually nudge you and give you that assignment that pushes you to actually dig in for your own minerals, find that germ inside and find it yourself and stop thinking that other people need to find it for you. Put in the work and you will find it. So to a point where I have realized that my role in life is to help people to find their gifts.
Okay.
Your innate gifts.
Yes. So tell me, assertive and aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference?
I suppose both of them have, what do you call it in English? They will have origin somewhere,
mm-hmm.
right? So to assert, you know which word came to mind immediately? Ass.
You, of course, it had to be.
Right? I saw that. I was like, where's those three letters staring at me?
Yeah. I like your mind. No. Like, I like your mind. Very, very cheeky and naughty and playful, and fun, you know?
You know, I search even the energy of the word, the way the rolling of the tongue sometimes also tells you what the word is meant to do. So to assert in itself is just to put your point across, you know, to put an opinion across, to be clear about where you stand, without necessarily requiring other people to be on your team. Oh, yes, like you might need them like to that. Be on your team, but it is not obligated. So, you know, it's making yourself be seen and known and heard. You.
Yeah. This is called
aggression. On the other hand, you could say that, yes, I is still doing the same thing. I'm being seen and heard and felt, and but the energy behind it, it's fiery. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So the other one is much more a gentle energy, whereas the latter is, it's more of a fiery push, shove, whatever. You know, I'll do whatever it takes. If I need to kill or chop somebody's ear, I'll do that. Whereas the other one is about, let us discuss this, because I've said this is the position that I am taking.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to hear your opinion. It doesn't mean that I am going to ultimately agree with you. But it's important that I hear you.
So is it more like a Mandela, if needs be, you know? It's a clear statement of facts and truths and conviction that says, look, if needs be, you know, I'm prepared to die for this cause, and it's okay, it's
absolutely
fine.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, absolutely.
Do you like coffee?
I drink one coffee a day. At the max, it's two. I'm not finicky. I don't know much about the breeds and the blends and the sources and the Arabic and the non-Ethiopian.
Answer the question. Do you like coffee or not?
Okay.
Do you like coffee? Say yes or no.
It's not a yes or no, my friend.
Mm-mm. I want a yes or no. I'll tell you.
But I drink it. If I say no, are you going to think that...
No. It's no judgment. There's no judgment. It's actually a fun game. Yes or no?
I don't know. No.
Okay. No, you know what? Honestly, you've said so many gems. I don't know. You need to drink your own wisdom. And I was just thinking, Bonini, the coffee book. I was like, wow, with quotes. And you, because you just picked gems. My goodness. You. Like this is like so many things that you just said that are so profound.
Thank you.
Can we breathe?
Pardon?
Can we breathe now?
Oh, you're ready for breathing now. Are you ready for breathing now at last?
Yes, I'm ready for breathing. Oh, I want to breathe. I can't breathe. Too much wisdom flowing.
Okay.
I can't breathe.
So which one is it? Are we breathing?
Yes, take it away, whatever it is that you feel like.
Okay, we're going to do a bit of heart breath or heart breathing.
You know what? I want you to talk about it. I want you to tell us that, because I think I connected with you on that. I know that's something that you are actively involved in. And I know I'm not doing it justice even in this conversation, but I just wanted just like a snippet or a sample set of this energy that you infuse through breathing, which is, I know I had a session with you. It was really beautiful. I loved it. And I know 98% of the world doesn't know how to breathe properly, according to the latest research from Bonini Inc. research with Harvard University. You know, there's all these things, really. And again, if you think of it, it's such a foundational thing. So, I mean, I'm allowing it. This is your show. You do whatever you want to do.
Okay, the breathing. We do the breathing.
Yeah, you can talk about it and share your thoughts about it, and then you can show us what we need to know about breathing and so on. The breathologist. Introducing. I should have the intro. Introducing the breathologist. She's won so many awards and saved so many lives.
So my journey with breath actually started in 2012, going into 2013. There are workshops that I used to attend in Mulder's Drift at Woodlands with Dr. Ila Manga, who I trained under. And at the time, I needed to understand me, but it was still the very early days of this understanding me part. And then it so happened that at the same time, I went through a period of major introspection in terms of my marriage and all of that, and understanding me coming out of giving birth to a child in 2010. So all of those things.
Yeah.
And I then started attending these workshops. I enjoyed it. I loved it. I loved how they made me feel and made me want to process and how then I would process things. And then in 2018, I then did a course on breathing. And before that, I was using breathing for myself, but even in my coaching sessions, when I started bringing in 2015, I would lace it in, but not with enough confidence of fully understanding what I was doing, meaning the depth of what this breathing is really is. So I was using it very superficial based on what I have been exposed to, but also reading a bit about it here and there. And I'll be in and out of it. Until then, as I said to you earlier on, your heart will always guide you to what knowledge you need to equip yourself with. And I found myself just going down that rabbit hole. I was like, I need to do this course. And I went into a trade exchange with her institute and they took me in and I did it. And it made perfect sense. Like, it literally had a home within my services where I knew exactly how I was going to use breathing. I wanted to go deeper with it, but the one thing that I noticed that I needed to do in order for me to go deeper with it and make it my own was to practice it. So I was doing yoga. I was in and out of yoga. Yoga calls breathing pranayama. I was aware of Wim Hof method of breathing. I was aware of conscious connected breath and breathing under the umbrella of Ila Manga. Ila's school of thought was very protective of their information. They would say, in order for you to be a breather, you need to have done the advanced course. So they were very, very, very keen to, you know, it was very that in, that really rubbed me off the wrong way because I'm quite not contrarian. The minute you say daunt to me, it's like now you're making my eyes go param. Right? Yeah. And then Wim Hof, on the other hand, is this free spirit hippie that I love. He swears, he says everything, motherfucker.
Yes, exactly. You know, my guy. I was waiting for that.
Yeah, he is that. Yeah. He's very free flowing and it's freely available, this information. Yoga does the same thing. Information is freely available. Then I started slowly distancing myself from Ila's work because I felt, okay, it's quite precious. Because for her, I think she thinks you need to be trained further in order for you to have any sense of confidence or associate yourself with the word being an expert in breathing. I started practicing on my own and reading. So doing yoga, because I was doing a yoga teacher training, I would understand the breath even more. Like literally the breathing apparatus, how do they work? And the more I would do it myself, the more I would have questions. So I would have questions that I'm then presenting to class and it'd be over the head of my tutor who didn't understand what I'm talking about. And then I would practice whatever I've just asked. And then I would be like, oh, so this is what happens. So I would travel this journey, you know, this geometric structure with my body and breath and understand Where does it stick? Where does it flow? And if it flows, what needs to happen to the posture, meaning the muscular skeleton of the body? And when it does, where does it go beyond the abdomen and the ribs and the chest and the shoulders? Where else yeah. does it go? And all these knowledges and schools of thought and started to understand, but more through practice. So one thing that I am good at, right, mm-hmm. amongst the many things, so over and above being a talker, my friend, and a contrarian, and being a queen, I'm a mm-hmm. giver.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And because I'm a giver, I was like, I need to expose the stuff that I'm learning, right, to people. But I need to now have a low-hanging fruit in my services, and breathing, I think, is just that thing. But how do I do it? So I gave a whole lot of free sessions, I think, for a year to people where I was literally just saying, I have a free session and they'll come. So I'll start practicing the wording and, you know, the delivering of it so that it gives me confidence to start understanding what needs to happen, you know? And then lacing that, by the way, with information about understanding the systems in the body. Yeah. Yeah. We're talking respiratory system, circulatory system, you know, all those systems in the body, the digestive system, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Layers and layers of information. So that's how my journey into breath got to where it is today. So right now, I know more about breathing than people who have done the so-called advanced course.
And that's what I actually reckon from what you said, because it sounds like you were let loose and you just went on this journey of discovery where it's like, wow, I didn't know this, this. But yet, you know, like when you go on a tour, there's the curated adventure, which is like, oh, tour guide, this is the path. You don't go there. But you were like, no, you went, met the crocodiles, danced with them. He went the other side, you know, met the hippo and did. And it was like not on the beaten path. It was on the rose, you know, the unbeaten path, as it were, because you discovered much more than even what has been scripted or written down, at least in those curriculums that you mentioned or any ones that may be referenced quite popularly.
Yes, and I do have a problem with people who hoard knowledge which was never hoarded to from them in the first place. Because as I said, breathing has its origin from pranayama, which is yogic practice.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to ask two favors of you as a listener of the Timitude podcast. One is to share this with someone who you know would benefit from, as we seek to bring out the best inspirational content featuring thinkers, dreamers, makers, movers, and trailblazers. The second request is for you to kindly leave us a rating in whichever platform you're listening to. We are available on all major podcast platforms, including Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, and also recently on YouTube. Also, don't forget to connect with us on social media and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. We can connect on at Timitude on Twitter and Timitude on YouTube and on timitude.com. Once again, thank you for being part of the Timitude community. Well. Finally, I get to sit with my friend Bonini Kusano for a heart-to-heart, like two friends would, over a cup of tea or their favorite drink, and talk about all the things to do with our heart. We talk self-worth, self-esteem, confidence, and just feeling your body. And then, of course, we ended off with a primer on breathing and how to breathe properly. And then part two, which will come next week, we actually get into it. And Bonini takes me through her breathing regimen, which is absolutely going to open up your mind, open up your body, open up your being, and just really open possibilities for you. So without further ado, Allow me to indulge you in this beautiful conversation with my friend Bonini Cusano as we talk about everything to do with the heart. Enjoy it.